Welcome to Love Hate Automate, the podcast where digital dreams dress tomorrow's reality. I'm your host, Dale Parr, and with my weekly guests, we'll be diving into the vibrant world of digital fashion. Each episode, we stitch together innovation, creativity, and a splash of the unexpected. It's an absolute privilege to welcome Kai Philippe to the show today. Now, Kai is the founder of Union Avatars. This is a solution that generates full body avatars, enabling people to explore their digital identity and explore immersive experiences. It's great to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you, Dale, for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'll tell you what would be great is if we could just kick off by hearing a bit about you and your project.
Sure, definitely. So, yeah, just to have a full picture about me and the project, I would say I'm a nerd from early age, from I was a kid. My father was a developer, so I started touching computers from an early age. Later on, I got into Bitcoin around 2013, late 2013, early 2014. I discovered the technology, started to get really involved in whatever I could. Did some experiments around exchanges in 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. I built my first startup in 2016, where we were doing a cashback application using crypto and fiat at that time, but okay. We ended up using only fiat. And then in 2019 is when I started really with what Union Avatars is now, putting together a little bit my, I would say, obsession when it comes to identity management. I've been trying several different solutions, protocols, on-chain, off-chain, decentralized, peer-to-peer, federated, everything that I could jump on related to identities and my passion for video games. Unfortunately, I cannot play that much now, but I used to be a hardcore gamer. So putting these two ideas together now and how we will represent our identities in the upcoming 3D world that is coming is when the idea of Union Avatars came up. And then basically what we have at Union Avatars is an avatar generator right now to create realistic avatars. But the vision that we have behind it is a little bit wider than that, in the sense that we see that identity is one of the very basic bricks where all the internet is built on top of. And as far as I understand, you should be able to have one unique identity controlled by you with your own data, cryptographically stored, having the ownership of this data, and then being able to project yourself in a different way based on the platform that you want to join. No, you don't have the same profile, let's say, in LinkedIn and Instagram, or you don't dress the same when you go to the office or to the gym. So we understand that in the virtual space, it should be the same. Maybe you want to join a video game, and you feel more comfortable with a cartoon avatar. But then if you are talking to a bank, maybe you feel more confident talking to a realistic avatar. No? So that's a little bit the approach that we are following. And that's why we are also releasing soon different style generators. So it will not be only realistic ones, but also cartoonish ones in different styles and look and feels.
Yeah, I always had a similar dream, actually, where instead of it just being around a wardrobe full of digital fashion, particularly, you're going to have, people will have a wardrobe of avatars and a wardrobe of fashion. And so all these different identities for different situations, it's just how we live normally. And it makes sense that will, you know, be relevant in the digital space.
Totally. And even doing this cross world, let's say, with real and digital fashion, now that we see mixed reality coming that hard, it might be possible that in some years you're just, I don't know, wearing some kind of whatever black t-shirt with some locators or some trackers. But then if you acquire certain NFT, the people who look at you through mixed reality glasses, they will see an actual outfit there and things like this. So I think it's also something really interesting to explore.
Oh, definitely. There's loads of potentials. But as you know, this show is called Love, Hate, Automate, where we dig into those three topics. So let's get into the body of the show. So what is it that you're loving around digital fashion, digital transformation, digital tech? And maybe you can tell us a bit about that.
Lately, like last year, I saw this front row show that was super interesting for me because it's a way to really bring all this digital fashion to the real world. I think that was a really interesting activation, something that we have been really looking at. And all these ways of bringing the virtual assets to the real world, I think it gives a lot of tangibility to what we are doing and give an actual, let's say, output that the people can touch in a way or can see in the real world, and especially when it comes to brands, no, seeing that there is a really big world or a big opportunity on this digital fashion. I think that's one of the things that I love the most of what I've seen recently.
Yeah, Future Front Row have had a really, really prominent fashion season. Been in Milan, I believe. They've been in Amsterdam as well. I've heard a lot about them. NFT Paris, I think it was Milan and NFT Paris, working with a number of different designers, working with assets from various platforms as well. So from Mutani to DressX. So they're showing an awful lot of flexibility in what they're doing. And it does combine that digital experience where you have, you know, a physical garment in front of you, but you also have this immersive experience in the background. And it's this like lovely blend of the two.
And I see also that several like traditional brands, physical brands, are starting to push a lot for digital solutions and for digital fashion, to even adding this to their chain of creation or chain of production. Softwares like, I don't know, like Cloth3D are putting a big foot in in the middle of this production line that these companies have. And I've been recently talking to several fashion brands who are starting to use or have more than 20 or 30% of their catalog in digital. And then from that, they create the actual realistic models. So I think that's also something that is helping a lot this digital fashion to move forward on these benefits that can give to the real world assets and the real world production. No, is a way to waste less less energy in general, have less waste when it comes to the production of different how you call it, like different models, different examples of a garment to show. You can iterate a lot on digital without having to actually print them or create them in physical. So I think that's bringing a lot of new opportunities to on this space.
Yeah, I've always felt, I remember having a conversation with Tracy Manzanito, who was at Tommy at the time, and we were talking about the library of digital assets that Tommy has. You know, it's extensive because they started with digital product creation back in 2017, and one of the real kind of pioneers in a global sense. But they've got all these digital to physical assets, you know, from Chloe and Browseware. What do they do with them? So once they've gone off to production, they just become a redundant asset, but it's IP. It has value. They're not in a usable form at the moment because they're like ridiculously detailed, high poly. They need a lot of work, but there's essentially a whole back catalogue that at some point could be utilised. Or when it comes to the runway event, or when it comes to the marketing of a collection, there needs to be a mechanism to kind of you know, extract more value from these assets, because they've made their production line more efficient, but actually I think they could offer even more value going forward.
Then also, now that you mentioned this, I think I'm a fan of everything that Artifact is doing. So I really like all these connections again from the physical and digital world. When it comes to connecting your physical assets to blockchain, either for the traceability that it can give, you know, like I think a good example can be like with a shoes that somebody has been wearing, or a competition where they offer a garment to the winner at the end of the competition, and then this acquires certain value that can be also tracked over the time, and then you can also implement some virtual aspects on it through the web or through AR. So that's something that I think we will see more and more on the upcoming years. We have seen several experiences already, but I think this is something that people will really push also based on the new devices, the new headsets that we are seeing. It's something that we would see on our day.
Yeah, I think just touching on, just expanding on that point and the conversation we had in the green room before the show, is that you're right, there could be a genuine wearable NFT that's one of one that becomes a trophy, an award for completing a certain part of the game. Someone gets to own that for a period of time, and then they hand it back, just like the yellow jersey in the Tour de France. And then it's up to the competitors the following week to try and win that. And with as every week passes, you know, there's a history and a story to tell, and that item intrinsically becomes more valuable, you know. And so there are some really, really interesting ways of incorporating wearable NFTs with Web3 gaming that offer like really interesting value.
Totally. And if we go only for the digital too, even like, I don't know, a digital asset that one esports gamer can play one specific competition, and then they can sell it later on. So you know that you are acquiring one specific asset or weapon or whatever that have been used in one specific competition by one specific user. I think that's another way of giving value, especially for the people who like to the asset itself. You know?
Yeah. So let's move on to the hate topic. What's frustrating you at the moment, Kai? You know, we've spoken about a lot of interoperability topics in that first section. So maybe you could expand.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I would say one of the things that I hate the most, or that for me is more of a challenge, is getting to some, I mean, for me, interoperability, especially if we talk about Web2 and Web3, is more, I think we are heading to the right way with Web3, but I think interoperability is kind of big buzzword still, so we can talk more about portability and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like one of the challenges that we have, especially bringing it to my field, no, to the avatars, is to try to reach to some point of standardization, let's say, or common way of doing the things, some sort of consensus that it doesn't have to be, as we were mentioning before the call, no? Not that much related to creating a new technical standard or technological standard or protocol, but more just having some common understanding on, I don't know, the skeleton, bones orientation, type of armature that we're using, blend shapes, certain things, APOs, TPOs, certain things that right now each platform, each avatar provider, each creator is doing by their own. So it's creating a general mess that makes it complicated for everybody, you know, for avatar creators to be able to communicate with the platforms, for the fashion designers to be able to provide designs for different companies. They have to keep redoing the same asset in a way or another to be adaptive to what to the platform that they want to join, or to the avatar provider that they want to join. And I feel there is a missing opportunity there in just having a talk, let's say. So it's not super hard technologically speaking. So it's not about creating a new protocol, as I was saying. It's just like getting some point where we all agree in how to do things that would facilitate or would ease up the process, especially for designers to be able to contribute and to have a wider reach. So I would say that's one of my frustrations or things that I would like to see improved.
Yeah, that's a huge frustration, because it would save everybody time, and it would make life way more efficient, way more cost effective, extend people's runways, you know, because they spend less time, you know, modifying and refitting objects, you know, to suit their environments. And we just need that consensus. I think that's really, really valid. I've always felt there's been a requirement for a consensus of language in terms of fashion, you know, how digital creators communicate with fashion designers, because they have completely different disciplines and come at it from a different level of knowledge and understanding. You know, fashion designers come at it from understanding the pattern cutting and the materials and the artisanal side, and digital creators are doing it through digital learning tools. And so having that consensus would be incredible. I think maybe we should set up a round table, and maybe we should just have a think about what we need to even to develop, you know, a willingness to find that consensus.
Totally agree on that. And I think like there is some technological limitations still, no? Especially if we talk about multiplayer platforms and these things, we're talking about a framework of limitations on what type of asset we can offer, the weight that this asset can have, the poly count that this asset can have. So I think in one side, the technology is advancing super fast. So maybe in some years, we don't have to talk anymore about low poly and we can put super high poly on a runtime platform, doing pixel streaming and several things. So luckily, we're heading this way. But at the same time, I think, there is a certain importance in trying to make certain standards or certain common ways of doing things that would facilitate everybody's work.
Yeah. Now, here's just an idea and just an observation, a signal. It may or may not be anything, but I thought I'd ask you. As we're talking about kind of standardizations and standards that already exist. So the Disney investment in Epic and their intention to create open interactive experiences, how I read into that was Pixar use USD, Universal Scene Description, as a method of trying to create a usable or familiar standard. Epic are obviously in, but I wondered whether there was, but given the power ratio, do you think that USD could be something that manifests into a significant standard across digital gaming?
Yeah, I think when it comes to file formats, definitely USD will be something that we will see more and more, maybe more than GLB. I would say it's the standard now. When it comes to avatars, we still see a lot of VRM used, especially on the open metaverse platforms, on these Web3 platforms like Nifty Island, HyperFi on Cyber. They are using VRM. And I really like VRM because it's an open standard, it's open software. So there is still room for improvement and some things that are not clear that can be improved too. So I really like VRM. But on more a massive market, I think USD is taking a little bit the big piece of the cake, and probably will see more and more coming. And at the same time, it's one of the most, clean formats that then you can move to other formats without losing a lot of information or containing most of the information, just like GLB, GLTFB, if I'm not wrong, is the complete name. I would say that that's probably one of the file formats that most people will use.
But just for clarity on this point, you're actually pointing out that it's the body position, the garment position, the blend shapes, the bones, the armature, that's the big bugbear here. It isn't like the FBX or the GLB or the USD.
Exactly. I'm not actually going that far as... there are certain specifications that did change from avatar provider to avatar provider, so they will never be the same. But there are others that are pretty easy to just get the same standard and try to move with that consensus, I would say.
Well, cool. Let's watch this space. Let's see if we can pull some people into a room and see if we can just get kind of a general consensus, because I can't see the objections, to be honest. It'll save people an awful lot of time.
That would be definitely so the way to go.
So on to our final point of the show, which is automate. What technology have you seen or are you aware of, or is there just something in the production pipeline that you hate or that's bothering you, aside from what we've spoken about, that you would just love to see a development or a magic button or something that would solve a big problem for you? What would be your automate today?
Okay, I would say some points. One is the style transfer. I think software like Clo 3D, they just released the Everywhere, That is some sort of way of transforming the garments and the assets to be adaptive to different body forms, let's say. Mm-hmm. I was going to say human, but they even use animals. So you can transform one asset and be and have it adaptive for different models. At the same time, doing some sort of automatic retopology. But I think one of the specifically challenge that we have when we talk about avatar providers is, as I was saying before, we have this framework of limitations when it comes to poly count. So people want to have an avatar that is light on the size, that texture have certain limitations. So all this process of retopology, so bringing it from a high poly to a low poly, is something that especially we saw a lot of, like, when it comes to the digital fashion field, we see a lot of people coming from the traditional fashion and so, a lot of people coming from more the gaming industry. So the gaming industry people, they are really aware of all the limitations that they have, but maybe they are not that much creative. Don't take it wrong, but they don't have the same knowledge about materials and everything that the people come that comes from fashion. But then when the people comes from fashion with super high quality designs, but they are super high quality, super hard to bring to a multi-layer runtime platform. So I think that the combination of both is the perfect match for us as avatar providers. So I think more tools to help doing this retopology, this adaptation from super high quality to a low poly that is not shit at the same time, would be super helpful. There are already some retopology, automatic retopology tools, but we didn't find nothing that is really good on what we need. So I foresee some new technologies coming on this space, on the style transfer from something like voxel to realistic to cartoon, and being easy to adapt from one and to the other. And then again, what I was mentioning at the beginning, no, I'm really, but that's something more personal, but I think we will see more and more mixed reality also being applied on fashion. In a way, like I was saying, no, maybe I buy an NFT from an asset and somehow I can wear it, and then you, through your AR glasses, you can see that I'm wearing this specific garment. So I see an evolution on that. And then finally, for me, like the big evolutions, talking from a wider perspective, the big evolutions for technology came with the shifts when it comes to displays, like the screen, the smartphone. So I think really the headsets or even the contact lens and things like this will be the next big shift. So there is the approach from, I don't know, Apple or Meta with the big headsets that allow you to do several interesting things. There is the approach also from Meta or the other brands that come from the small device and try to add new technologies on it. So I think at some point they will connect both of them, and we will find a comfortable headset that is wearable for the people on a daily use, and at the same time have enough technology to bring us to the next level.
Nice. Well, I'm just interested to know, how long does it take you or take one of your artists to convert a high poly, a complete garment, top, bottom, maybe shoes, headpiece, into, you know, to re-topologize into something that's ready to use in a, on a union avatar in game?
I would say half day, more or less.
Per garment, or for the whole look?
For the whole look. Maybe a day, based on the difficulty that you have. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of wasting time. You know, if we could have the garment provider really giving us, because at the end of the day, you are not, I mean, the best person to know how to do this retopology probably is the first creator. So they can take the decisions on where it makes sense to keep still some of the polygons, where it doesn't make sense. So I think the retopology part ends up having a little bit of responsibility on the quality of the asset too, and that should be something that should be more on the creator side than relaying it in a third person to do it. So over this time, we won a lot of experience on that, so I think we provide a good output, but I think still the perfect way would be like that the very own creator is the one doing this adaptation because they will know what they can avoid or which part they are okay in not having or in having, or they want to ask, or they want to ask on the final output.
Yeah. Well, without, I've got an anecdotal story actually. Well, without mentioning any names, I was talking to a Fabricant designer, and this was when Fabricant were deploying their assets into Decentraland. So it's a couple of years back now. And they loved the process of creating high end fashion couture art pieces, you know, in the vision of the Fabricant, you know, these beautiful high fidelity garments that are just like, you know, transcending gaming and fashion, absolutely beautiful. The hardest bit was having to make them, adapt them for Decentraland. And so, you know, the designer would be on this high where they're just creating and developing something magical. And then they would spend a week just taking it all apart and trying to make an equivalent in Decentraland. It was heartbreaking. You know, it's really...
And you have to do a lot of sacrifices when you want to bring it to low poly or to this. But again, I think luckily the technology is advancing so fast that maybe in some couple of months or some years, we will not have to talk anymore about low poly. We will be able to showcase the fabric and garments as they are originally in a platform. But yeah, right now, that's one of the big issues that we have, and especially if you're talking about platforms like the Central and Sandbox, like you completely kill the original design. No? So
I feel like I've been talking about high poly for low poly for 3 years. So you're probably the same.
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
Well, Kai, thank you so much for being on the show. That wraps up Love, Hate, Automate. So how can our audience kind of keep in touch with you and follow what you're doing at Union?
Well, they can follow us in Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, X, Farcaster, anything, any social network with there as Union Avatars. Yeah, they can find me too. My handle is Sky Crucial in most of the places too. So happy to connect, have a chat about any idea that's coming. Let's see if we find some consensus to move forward.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll put all those links in the show notes, and yeah, we should definitely follow up on the consensus. I think that holds a lot of value for a lot of participants in the space. So just to finish, I'd just like to say, whether you're a creator, a builder, or a player in the digital world, have fun and enjoy being at the frontier of technology that is definitely changing the future. We'll see you next time on Love, Hate, Automate.